the inevitable is going to happen. Amen? And I'll tell you, he really grows precious to your heart and life. I told Miss Hall the other night, I was laying in bed, laying there, been reading and praying a little. And I was in some deep thought. She said, "What are you thinking about?" And I said, "Death." And I'll be honest, I think a whole lot about death anymore. And I'm not afraid to die by no means, but I do think about dying a whole lot. I'd hate to leave my family. Hate to leave you. But one day that thing will have to take place. And I'm telling you, there's a regret to going, but a joy in it at the same time that we get to see Jesus. How wonderful that is. Now, I've got that assurance in my heart, and that's wonderful to know. That's something a lot of people don't have. And but I'm glad by the grace of God that 1970, almost 27 years ago, Jesus revealed His love to me and made His grace known. And I'll tell you, it's just been a wonderful blessing ever since. I'm like Abraham. After he left Ur of the Chaldees and got into Canaan, there came a time when he drifted off down into Egypt. I guess I'm guilty of that myself. But I'm glad that, like Abraham, I come out of Egypt and found me an altar between Bethel and Ai. And hallelujah to God, I've been there ever since by the good grace of God. And that's where I'm planning on staying. Till Jesus comes. Now, I don't know how many of you heard Brother Tim Lewis's broadcast today, old-fashioned revival hour, but I heard him make a statement on there that just, I mean, it confirmed what I've been preaching. He's talking about how sinful the world was, but he was glad there's still a few people that had determined in their heart, no matter how sinful the world was, they was going to serve God and go on and live in victory for the Lord. Now, there's a lot of men don't believe you can have victory today because of the sinfulness of the world. Now, here's the statement that he made that got a hold of me. He's talking about grace and the grace of God. And he said, in fact, now listen carefully, he said, in fact, there's more grace today than there's ever been. And I said, Brother Tim, you'll have to expound that a minute. And he did. He said, for the Bible said, where sin did abound, grace doth much more abound. And so there's more grace available today for a sinner or for a Christian than there ever has been. Now, buddy, you get a hold of that, that'll rock you back on your heels and cause you to say hallelujah to God and hi. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Amen. That's right. Sin in the land is just God's opportunity to cause you and I to shine as stars in the firmament of the heaven. And thank God for His good grace. Well, Hebrews chapter 11. We're still plugging on in Hebrews. And when you find verse number 13, well, I'm going to ask you to stand and we'll read our text together tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read two verses. Verses 13 and 14. Bible said in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Our Father, I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, for the Word of God that You've given. And Lord, for the privilege that I have to stand and preach it. As unworthy as I am, just a sinner, saved by the grace of God and made a saint and a child of Thee. I rejoice in that and thank You that You've given to me the privilege to declare unto the saints of God and the sinner in the world the unsearchable riches of Christ. And Father, I'd rather not stand at all in this place as to stand alone. And I need the power of God and Your help. He that helpeth our infirmities, help my weakness tonight. and anoint these lips with fresh oil. Fill my heart with joy and love, and send peace and glory into every heart that hears. And we'll thank you, and we'll praise you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. Let me call your attention tonight to the first five words of verse number 13. Where Brother Paul here said, these all died in faith. Amen. Now, if God will help me for a little while, I want to try to preach tonight on dying faith. Amen. On dying faith. The Bible said there that these all died in faith. Now, although Enoch did not die, he was translated. I'm sure that Paul had him in mind along with the others in this chapter when he mentioned the fact that they all died in faith. I went back and read today how they died. I didn't get much from it. I thought I might glean a little something from it. But Abel was the first man to be murdered in the Bible. And didn't live a long life at all. Just a young man. Him and his brother, you know. And Cain slew him. And he became the first murdered person in the Word of God. In all the world, in fact. And he wasn't an old man. Just a young man. And then there was Enoch that walked with God and God took him. He was not. He had a testimony that he pleased God. But then Noah lived to be an old man. Died in a good old age. And so I had to conclude that the young die and the old die. And we all die. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this is the judgment. And then I found that Abraham lived to be a good old age and he died. And the thing I believe that amazed me more than any of them was the death of Sarah. Because the Bible said that Sarah died in Canaan and was buried in Canaan. Now that's a significant thing. She died in a place of victory. And you and I can die in that place of victory as well as her. If we have that dying faith. Now, these all died refers to those that are preceded in this chapter. But I really believe that the Holy Spirit of God would surely press upon you and I and press upon our hearts tonight that we need to possess the same faith that they possessed. If we're going to face the chilly waters of Jordan as they did. I mean, they all died in faith, brother. They had faith, they lived by faith, and they died by faith. And it do you and I well to realize that if we're going to make it over on the other side, we're going to have to possess the same identical kind of faith that they had. I've heard somebody say now all my life, this group of people is of another faith. I'm telling you, there is one Lord, there is one faith, and there is one baptism. And I say this without fear, my friend, if you don't have the same faith I have, you're not going to heaven. If you don't have the same faith Noah had, you ain't going to heaven. If you don't have the same faith that Sarah had, and Abraham, and Noah had, and Abel had, and Enoch had, you are not going to heaven. There is not a plurality of faith. There is only one faith. That's right. Now, you bear with me just a minute. That faith, hey, look here. That faith that they had will not wear out. I'm glad, thank God, that what I've got tonight won't wear out. It'll wear on, but it will not wear out. I want to say again, it'll wear on, but it will not wear out. I want to say it again, it'll wear on, but it will not wear out. I want to say it again, it'll wear on, but it will not wear out. Now, in case you don't know it by now, it will wear on, but it will not wear out. I've heard seen them fall by the wayside, fall out, get out, kick out, leave out, whatever you want to call out. But I'm here to tell you by the grace of God that the faith that these died with will not wear out. No, sir. It will not wear out. It overcomes obstacles. But son, I'm telling you, I've had people to kick out because of money, kick out because of friends, kick out because of preaching,
kicked out because of everything under the sun, but real saving faith and dying faith, my friend, will overcome every obstacle of life and give victory to the child of God as they persevere on in their Christian pilgrimage, moving toward that city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is Almighty God. And then that faith will endure unto the very end. I'll say that again, it'll endure. They all died in faith. Did you hear? These all died in faith. This faith is a living faith. It's not a dying faith. It is an incorruptible faith. It will not fade away. And it cannot be conquered by the devil. Hallelujah to God. It will not wear out, it will not corrupt, but it lives on even beyond death. These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but they were persuaded of them and embraced them and seen them afar off. They just kept on serving God because their faith would not wear out. That's right. These all died in faith. But in that real faith, there is an expectation. I want you to get this now. There is an expectation of life, and there is a preparation for death. I don't ever expect to die, but I have prepared myself to die. That's right, because Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's right. I expect never to die, but I am prepared for death. And these all died in faith, having not received the promises of God. Now, that brings me to my message. And I'll try to get into it if God will help me. I want to say that faith has an ending. These all died in faith. And so their faith had an ending. In fact, Brother Peter said it this way. He said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. And so, brother, the faith here that they all died in had an end. There came a time when that faith ended and they no longer walked by faith, but they began to walk by sight. He in whom they had been preached to and read about and loved had now become a reality in their life. The promises that they embraced were now reality. They were no longer walking by faith, but by sight in the very presence of Almighty God. And so faith has an ending. Now, I'm trying to get into my message. You just hang with me. If they died in faith, then they must have had a birth, for nothing dies without a birth. Nothing dies without a birth. Son, if something's going to die, it had a birth. I read in the paper just today about a 17-year-old girl, I believe, in New Jersey. The Bible said that young lady went to a prom, 17 years old, and nobody in the school knew about it, but the girl was pregnant. And said, long about the middle of the prom, she went into the bathroom that night of dancing, went into the prom, into the bathroom, came back out, and went right on to dancing, just like nothing had ever happened. One of the attendants went into the bathroom later and found blood all over the floor and all over the bathroom and on the walls. and found a dead baby laying by the commode, and they're checking that baby to find out if it's got water in its lungs out of that commode. And they're satisfied that baby was murdered by its own mama. Well, it died. And if it died, it means it had to have a birth. And friend, all these people who died in faith reveals the fact that there had to be a birth in order for them to die. That is, faith had to be birthed in their hearts by the power of the Holy Ghost. I tell you tonight, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And brother, if you're going to die in faith like they died in faith, you're going to have to get saved by the good grace of Almighty God. That's right. There's got to be a birth. There's got to be a transformation. There's got to be a translation. There's got to be a regeneration. For except a man be born again, he cannot see nor enter the kingdom of God. They had a birth. Son, I'm telling you, a lot of people dying today, talking about going to heaven, and they dying. They talk about having dying faith, and they've never been birthed. They're as lost as a goose. Amen. I wouldn't be at all surprised if think somebody fits that category right here in this church building tonight. I can just about bank on it that they are, because it's tighter than a Dick's hat band. Amen. Tighter than a drum down at the church house. And the reason being, the Holy Ghost of God is grief-sick. And he's grief-sick because of somebody's sin. And if somebody's sin don't get right, I'm going to march out from the church, expose who you are and what you've done, and get the thing right that the Spirit of God can have liberty in the church house where we can enjoy the blessings of God again. Amen. You might just need to be the one who needs to get saved. I've seen some of you hit the altar so many times, bless God, you got slick spots wore on it up here now. You've tried and tried and ain't made the grade yet. You're going to wear calluses on your knees if you ain't careful. Amen. That's right. You're going to die someday, friend. But I'm trying to get across to you. They died in faith because they were birthed in the faith, and they lived by faith, and they died in faith with joy and victory in their hearts. That's right. Amen. And so there was a birth. They all died in faith. If they died in faith, faith had a beginning. Where's your faith? Where was it birthed at? I've heard Brother Steve talk about that old bench over in his workshop. I've heard Doug talk about that Sunday school room. Miss Hall in a bedroom in our house on Saturday night. Some of y'all got her in up here on the altar here. Some of you got it in other places, but where'd you get it? We might as well go ahead and nail her down. Where'd you get it? If you're going to die, these all died in faith. If you're going to die in faith, you're going to have to be saved from the beginning. Got to be a birth. That's right. Not only, if they died in faith, not only did they have to be a birth, there had to be a belief. They died in faith. Let me ask something tonight. What do you believe? Them people had a faith, buddy. They believed something. We got a bunch of people today, Baptist churches, don't believe anything. That's right. Don't believe anything. I heard a fellow preaching. Now, I don't want nobody to get mad at me. I'm not going to tell you who it was. So ain't no need you to ask me. I'm not even going to tell you who it was. But I heard a fellow preaching right here on this radio station. And he got to preaching on the tares and the wheat. Now, this fellow's a universalist. He's a universalist. And he said, the church had its birth at Pentecost. And it began to move in that birth at Pentecost. And said the devil at the beginning tried to stomp the church out. He realized he didn't have the power to stomp it out, and so he decided to join the church, sow tares amongst the wheat, and try to destroy the church from within. I thought, boys, that sounds pretty good. But there's only one problem with that. If it's a universal church, that means that the saved church, the spiritual church, has got lost people living in it. Y'all get a hold of that now? I know about we need people that'll believe something, folks, about that Bible, whatever. If it hair-lifts your tradition and hair-lifts what you've been taught, you just need to simply believe the Bible, get your tradition, fall in love with Jesus, get right with God, and believe what the Bible has to say. Amen. Right. So that faith has an ending. Have an ending, has a birth. If it had a birth, it had to have a belief. It had to believe something. If it had a belief and a birth, then mark her down, it's going to have a battle. Brother Paul said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. Surely you don't think you're going to make it over on the other side without a battle. Everything under the sun will oppose your faith. That's right. The devil will fight against it. The world will fight against it. Sin will fight against it. Your flesh will war against it. You're not going to... But these people, if you read back through the Word of God, every one of them had a battle, amen, maintaining the faith that God had given them. You're not going to die in faith, brother, without meeting the devil head on somewhere down the road. That's right. It's a fight from beginning to end. Battle from start to finish. That's right. And you need to be willing to pay the cost. If you're going to die in the faith, amen, you just might as well mark her down that you're going to have to pay the cost. There's a price to pay. You might as well mark her down. You're going to have to pay it. If you plan on closing your eyes in a casket and have with satisfaction in your soul, brother, that you've lived for God, amen, you're going to have to fight the devil head on, the world head on, the flesh head on. You ain't going to make it without it. There is a battle to be fought. How these all died in faith. Faith had its ending. There was a birth, there was a belief, and there was a battle. Then I want to say that faith has an expectation. Notice what our text says. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. That is, they had an expectation. They had never received the promises of God. Hey, I've got news for you. That the greatest fulfillment of the promises of God come after we die. They all died in faith, not having received the promises. But brother, they had an expectation that those promises would be brought to pass. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what kind of promises? Well, I believe that they were persuaded. They were persuaded of the promise of the Messiah. Why, that's right. That's right. When God spoke to Abraham about a son, don't you know that Abraham died believing God, that on down the road that the Son of the living God would come into the world? They all died in faith, believing the promise of the Messiah. And where they looked back to the Messiah, you and I, or where they looked forward to the Messiah, you and I look back to the Messiah with the same kind of faith. In other words, they had a promise. They believed the promise of God that Jesus would come into the world, die on an old rugged cross, give His life for sinners, go to a grave, resurrect 3 days later, ascend back to the right hand of God, and stay there to intercede on your and my behalf. That's right. They expected Jesus to come into the world. Hallelujah to God. That's my joy and my hope tonight. I read that book. I read where Jesus has come unto you. Isaiah said, unto you a child is born. He was in Bethlehem, and unto you a son is given. And he was on the cross. That baby was born, was given. But the son was given on the cross. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's the blessed promise that keeps us going tonight. That Jesus has come. They said He will come. We said He has come. They believed it by faith. We believe it by faith that the Messiah has come. Amen. That's right. That's right. In fact, the Bible said in John 8:56, Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he's seen it. And he's seen it. I've got news for you. In Genesis 22:4, the Bible said that when Abraham drew nigh to Mount Moriah, the Bible said that he saw the place afar off. Amen. That's right. Right there is his faith in the Messiah. He saw the place afar off and rejoiced to see that day and did see it. The Bible says about Moses that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's right. Their faith, my friend, they had a promise of the coming Messiah, and they died in faith that he would come like he said he would come. Amen. That's right. And then they not only expected the promise of the Messiah, but they had an expectation of the power of the gospel. How could anybody die in faith without an expectation of the power of the gospel? For it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Thank God. I'm going to tell you, that's my expectation tonight, folks. It's not in my money. Thank God for that. I don't have any. That's right. Amen. It's not in my prestige or my power. I don't have any. My faith's not in what I can do, and it's not in what you can do. It's in what He's already done. My faith's in the power of the gospel. It's got the power to regenerate a sinner. It's got the power to keep a saint. It's got the power to resurrect a saint that's went on in the grave. They died and went to the grave believing that the power of the gospel would bring them out of the grave again. Hallelujah to God. That's right. An expectation of the promised Messiah. An expectation of the power of the gospel. They had an expectation of the precious resurrection. Nobody could die in faith and not believe that they're going to get up again. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, I'm scared to death to die. Maybe you need to get saved tonight. Maybe that's what's hanging up the service. Folks, I'm telling you, if it gets much tighter, we're going to have to do something desperate. That's right. Now, there ain't but one thing tightening up services, and that's disobedience and sin. That's all. Disobedience and sin. You swell mark that down. I love you. I'm not trying to be ugly. But we've had too much liberty, boys, for to clamp like that. And it ain't something started a long time ago. It's happened pretty recent. I'd give you about all the grace Brother Hall's going to do it. I'm not going to make the church suffer for your sin. That's right, folks. Well, and I know what I'm talking about. And I know where it's at. And I know whose life it's in. I know what it is. I know what's done it. But it's tightened our church down like a drum. And it's because the Holy Ghost is grieved. There ain't nobody come in here tonight and done nothing, said anything to grieve our service the way it's been grieved. But they sin in the camp. Now, I'm going to tell you what sin in the camp does, just like it done in the life of Achan. It'll just shut the church down. God ain't going to tolerate it. God ain't going to tolerate it. And I've tried to give grace, really. And I'm not mad at nobody. I'm not upset. But I'm just telling you, I know where it's at. And it needs to be got right. Because it's going to kill the church if it ain't got right. And before I let it completely destroy the church, we'll squeeze it like we would a blackhead. And if I start squeezing it tight enough, juice is going to run. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to be sweet. But you've never tried to get up here and preach with God gone somewhere standing outside the door of the building. You can't do it. You're spinning your wheel. You're wasting your time. That's right. Right, I'm telling it right. Had an expectation of the precious resurrection. Then not only their faith had an ending, their faith had an expectation, but their faith had an enlightenment. Notice what the Scripture said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Their faith had an enlightenment. They seen the promises of God afar off. God opened their eyes. Now, I want to show you something tonight. I think this is good. Now, I want you to listen to this. Those of you that will, it'll help you. Seeing things afar off will inspire your maturity in Christ. I never realized that. I got to studying this thing out, and I read over in 2 Peter, where it talks about, in chapter number 1,
where he said, whereby are given unto us exceeding, in verse 4, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith. Now, here's the maturity I want you to see. We'll try to talk our way through it and get what we can get out of the lesson. Here is the inspiration. I mean, seeing things afar off will inspire you to mature in the Lord. He lists a series of things here, like faith, add to your faith virtue, and then knowledge, and then temperance, and then patience, and then godliness, then brotherly kindness, and then charity. And this is steps in our maturity in our Christian life. But notice what he said. He said in verse number 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 9, and I've pondered this verse of Scripture so many times. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see. Now here's the thought, afar off. There's the thought in Hebrews chapter 11. He cannot see afar off. Number one, he's blind. And number two, he cannot see afar off. And he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, I want you to look right here. He's blind to the past and can't see the future. If there's no spiritual maturity in your life, you're lost. If there's no growth, you're lost. That's right. Ain't that what the Bible said? And here's the thing of it. You're not going to die in faith because you've never seen the promises afar off. And you're blind to what God's done for you in the past. You're blind to Calvary and the power of Calvary, and you can't see the second coming and the resurrection and the glory of the resurrection out in the future. That's right. Amen. I'm telling it right. Absolutely right. He's blind to the past and cannot see the future. Amen. That kind of enlightenment, seeing things afar off, and inspire us to maturity. You're going to have to love the Lord, and you're going to have to labor for that knowledge. That's what it says in this verse. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you know? Everybody look right up here. I mean, let's just talk our way through and put the rubber where. What do you know about the grace of God? Some of you all been saved 7, 8, 9, 10 years and don't know bats about the Bible. That's right. And want to lead me to believe that you're saved by the grace of God. You don't know nothing about that book. And you're telling me you're saved. Hey, folks, I tell you, dying faith will cause you to contemplate upon the Lord Jesus. I mean, your mind will stay upon the Lord, and you'll just contemplate His grace and His love and His mercy. And that's right. And you'll meditate in the Word of God, and you'll hide the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against God. And when you hide God's Word in your heart and meditate on this book and spend your day in contemplating the Lord Jesus and His mercy and grace and love, you are bound to mature in the Lord. You will add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance faith, and right on down the line until you are. Somebody asked me last Sunday, said Brother Hall, said, can a Christian reach a state of Christian perfection? I believe that you can. I believe that you can, and I believe that Christian perfection is found in these graces. And, of course, the key there is charity. Now, abideth these three, faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. And, friend, when we learn to love as the Lord's love, amen, that is a definite sign of not only maturity, but Christian perfection. That's right. Amen. Faith has an enlightenment. They saw some things afar off. That's right. They was able to see afar off. And in seeing those things afar off, it prompted them, it motivated them to cultivate their relationship with Christ. And not only cultivate their relationship with Christ, but to labor diligently in the Word. I wonder how many of you read the Bible today, this week. You've got time to do everything else. I'm talking about faith, dying faith. Folks, I'm telling you, I'd hate to roll some of y'all's body right here in a casket, knowing that I spent the last 2 or 3 hours of your life with you at the hospital and saw you scream and squirm and scrounge and beg God for something that it was too late to get. I watched old Ross Robertson die without a struggle. Big tear rolled up right there on his cheek. And he died without a struggle. Last words I heard him say, "What are you doing here, Pastor?" I said, "You didn't have to come up here." I said, "This is nothing important." And I thought, somebody died? Not important? It wasn't that important to him, folks. He had a birth. His faith had been birthed. And now the faith that had been birthed was a dying faith. He had spent his life and dedicated his life to the Lord and given his life over to the church and the work of God. He loved the house of God, loved the Bible, loved preaching. Now, I'm telling you, if you don't love preaching, love the Bible, love the house of God until it calls you to diligently search the Scripture and hide it in your heart, you're not ready to die. You're not ready to die. Had an enlightenment. Hallelujah to God. Now, I know this is going to bomb some of you right on out of the saddle. And I mention this a lot and don't make any apologies for it. Faith has an enjoyment. It said when they saw these things afar off, that they were persuaded of them. And not only did they were persuaded of them, but they embraced them. They embraced them. But if they put a bear hug on the promises of God,
yes,
any Christian will. Son, they're the only hope we've got.
Yes,
you better put a bear hug on them.
Yes,
some of y'all know how to put bear hugs on worldly things, but you don't know how to put a bear hug on the promise of God.
Amen.
And live by faith.
Amen.
Trust God for something. Amen. Listen to this. Faith, sees with the understanding, is persuaded in the heart, and embraces by the will. Buddy, I'm here tonight because I willed to be here. I wanted to be here. I didn't come tonight against my will. If you're here tonight against your will, my suggestion to you is you may need to get born again. There's nothing down at the church house for me. Get saved and there will be. There's nothing in preaching for me. Get born again and the book will come alive to you. It'll be an enjoyment to talk about the second coming of Christ. Talk some folks about it. They talk about it like they dread it and fear it. I'm not fearing it. Hallelujah to God. I wish it had come right now. I'm satisfied some of this crowd would be left standing in the shadows, buddy. Sitting in the pew. Amen. That's right. Amen. The promises of God are first contemplated, then they're rested upon as reliable, and then they're delighted in. The reason some of y'all don't have any joy out of the Word of God is that you've never contemplated what God's done for you and rested in the finished work of Christ. That means you're lost. You say, "Brother Hall, you keep going back to your lost." Yeah, because I think somebody in here is lost. Filled up with religion. Oh, I'm talking about eat up with it, buddy. Just eat up with it. But no God, nobody at home. Arthur Pink said this, "The present spiritual happiness of a Christian consists more in the promises and expectation, and expectant anticipation than our actual possession." Our happiness is based upon yet in the future.
Amen.
That's why some folks run around with their lip dragging the ground. I've preached exactly those words so many times. You run around with your lip dragging the ground, you have no happiness in your life, no joy in your life. That's right. It's because you don't have an anticipation of anything out yonder in the future. Your future is bleak and dreary, dark and cloudy. That's why your present tense is filled up with despondency and despair. No joy, no faith, no expectation, no enjoyment, no enlightenment. And when it comes time to end it all, you will die like you lived, religious and lost. Let's stand together.